Begin the current Daf Masechta Nas with Daf Nun Gimel. Begin 9 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing our previous Mishnah. Now, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, that although generally it's comparative regarding what transmits Tumah to a person, whether it be in the oil, or by touch, or by carrying, so regarding if a Nazir gets the Tumah of a mess, and we said many different items that could transmit the Tumah of a corpse, whether it be the limb of a corpse, whether it be a pound of flesh of the corpse, whatever it is, spine, the skull. So he said that generally the Nazir, when he becomes Tameh, he's going to have to purify himself, cut off his hair, and bring karbanas and start over his Naziris. Now, however, there are two unique differences that are mentioned in our Mishnah in contrast to the halachas of Tumah. Specifically by Tumas Oyel, we find that although a quarter of a kav, which is a certain type of measurement of bones, will transmit Tumas Oyel, the Nazir will not be Megalech, will not have to cut off his hair and start over until he has a half a kav, double that amount. So too regarding a quarter of a leg of blood, although generally a revius is enough to be metamin oil. However, in regards to a nazir, he's only going to be megaleach when there's a half a leg. Those are two unique differences. Now that's why Agamar continues on that discussion and quotes Amar Abliezer. Abliezer says, Zikainim harishainim, from the earlier sages, so miktsasin hayayimim, there were some that actually said, this halacha that we mentioned in our Mishnah of a half a kav of bones and a half a leg of blood is actually a halacha that applies to every area of them transmitting their tumah, where reva atzamas revias dam loy lakol, which means to say that if you only have a quarter of a kav of bones or a quarter of a leg of blood, actually that wouldn't work for anything. In other words, what they hold, which is not like the Mishnah Masechtas Olos, which is what talks about the general halach of the transmission of Tumah of items, where these Zakenim Harishayim held that for everything you need to have this large shear, not just like we said in our Mishnah of Nazir being Megaleach, but even for Truma or for Kachim, if it's less than that shear, it will not transmit Tumah in the Oyel Hames. That's what some of them said. Now, Reb Eliezer continues, he says, U'miktsasin hayom, and there were those that say actually the other extreme. No, to the contrary, that also a quarter of a kav of bones and a quarter of a leg of blood works for everything. In other words, not like our Mishnah, that even the nazir would be megaleach if it only has just a nazir, only a quarter of a kav of bones or a quarter of a leg of blood. So we have some of the earlier sages that argued on the Mishnah Masechtas Olos and said that it always needs a half a kav. And then those who argued on our Mishnah said that no, it never needs a half a kav, it always only needs a quarter of a kav, hence the Nazir Megaleach, even in that. Now, that, says Rabbi Eliezer, Bezdin Shalach Reim Amr, but the later courts came along and said, like the way our Mishnah has it together with the Mishnah Masechtas Olos, that there are differences. Chatzi kav atzamis v'chatzi loigdam lakil. When it's a half a kav of bones or half a log of blood, that works for everything. In other words, even to require the nazir to have to be megaleach his hair, which is like it said in our Mishnah, that for that it needs a half a kav. Roiva atzamis revius dam, when you have only a quarter of a kav of bones or a quarter of a log of blood, that's l'truma v'kachim. That would consider a transmission of tumah in the same tent in regards to saying that you're tummy that you can't eat truma or that you wouldn't be able to participate in things of kachim. Where then, if you're in the same oil, you're tummy, like that's like the Mishnah Masechtas Olos says. Where for that, it's enough for revius. Avoloi l'nazir, but again, that would be for truma and kachim, but not for the halachas of nazir, like our Mishnah says. And moreover, Rabbi Eliezer adds on actually ba'isa pesach, that the same thing would be for someone that's going to do his karban pesach, since doing the karban pesach is such an important mitzvah that if one doesn't do it, he gets cards for. So for that, we didn't consider him tamei if he's in the same tent as just a revius. It would have to be a half a kav or a half a leg. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Now, that the Gemara asks, Mechni, let's see. We know in hachras shlishas machras. This third party, this bezn shalach reim, they're not the deciding factor between those two other parties of the zakenim rishayim. In other words, if let's say the Bezna Shalach Reim would take sides with one of the two, so it would be two against one. But here they're saying their own reasoning, which actually none of the Zakenim Rishayim said anything about to differentiate between Nazir and Isa Pesach on the one hand and Truman Kachem on the other hand. So the question is, why did we Paskin the way we see Reb Yehuda Nasi? Made our Mishnah different than the Mishnah Masechtas Olos, which we understand to mean, because regards to Truman Kachim, it's enough with a quarter of a log and a quarter of a kav, whereas our Mishnah's Toman doesn't megaleach, and like similarly like Karban Pesach with that, it would require a half a kav, a half a log, but that's like the Bez and Shalachareim. Why are we passing like them when the Zikainim Rishainim, both camps, actually didn't say that? They either said it always is a quarter or always a half. So on that, Amr B'Yakob Ha'idi says it's because Mepi Shmua Amru. It's because they said it over from a Messiah tradition, going back Mepi Chagiz Chari Malachi, going back to Nevi'im of Chagiz Chari Malachi, and that's why we hold like the Bez and Shalachareim to rely on their tradition and to say the halachas like them, as we find in our Mishnah, different than the Mishnah Masechta Olos, again, because it does depend if it's Truma Kachim, which is enough for a quarter, and Nazir and Pesach, which is a half. Now that the Gemara continues, quoting from our Mishnah, said that it opened up, and the Mishnah ended off with the words, Al Eilu HaNazir Megalech. It's regarding these things that we delineated that the Nazir is going to have to cut off his hair. Now, the Al Eilu sounds like this, but not something else. Moreover, it's actually redundant, because it starts over that phrase and ends over that phrase. So the Gemara explains, what is it coming to exclude? And specifically, redundancy, it's excluding two things. So now the Gemara says, Al Eilu Dereisha, when the beginning of the Mishnah opens up by saying it's regarding these things that the Nazir cuts off his hair, it's Lema'ute Etzem Kesa'ir. It's coming to exclude if it's just a bone the size of a barley corn of the corpse, where, although in our Mishnah we mentioned all those things that they're going to transmit tumets, even in the through the medium of oil, which is a halacha that applies to a mess, even if you're just in the same tent, or you're leaning over it, or it's leaning over you, but if it's etzem kisaira, tamagoi v'amasoi in, there it's only going to transmit tumet to the person, and more of a nazar have to cut off his hair, only if he touches it or carries it, but va'al ahiloi loy. But if he, in regards to halachas of oil, that wouldn't apply to etzem kisaira. Now, Tosfos just points out, although actually, the Mishnah says that halachic difference. It says that etzem kisa'ira, you're only going to have the halach of nazim megalech only if he touches it or carries it, but not if obviously he's in the same oil. So on that, says Tosfos, we find that many times what's called tani b'hadim mefarish, where it alludes to something and then it makes it explicit. So, but the first allusion of al eilo nazim megalech was alluding to the fact, but not etzem kisa'ira. And then the Mishnah even spells it out. Now, al eilo de seifa. Then when the end of the Mishnah repeats it again, it's regarding these things that is megaleach, that's lemu'ute even haschuches. That's coming to exclude a type of a stone, which is talking about a brick specifically. It's actually a reference, an allusion to the next Mishnah, which some level the Gemara here calls that Reisha and Seifa, because our Mishnah that we're explaining talks about the things that the Nazir is megaleach. The next Mishnah talks about things that he's not megaleach. So, similarly, like we said regarding the halacha of al-Elu of the Reisha, which is, it says it and then it explains it, here also that it alludes to it when it says it's regarding these things that is megalech, but actually the next Mishnah actually spells it out, which is, over there the Mishnah calls it Tzchachais u'Perois, which is a reference to a case where, in the first interpretation of the Rosh, that it's a reference of Evan HaSchuches, is from the word of Tzchach, meaning like leaning over, covering over. For example, let's say you have a wall, and there are bricks that are jutting out of the wall, and there's tumma under one of the bricks. Now, a person walks beneath one of the bricks, and he doesn't know if he walked under the one that would have shared the same oil as the tumma or not. So it's regarding such a case, as we'll see in the coming Mishnah, that actually the nuz is not going to be megaleach, because it's not a definitive tumma. So although a person would have to treat himself as tumma, but it's not definitive, so it's regarding such a case where the nuz is not going to be megaleach and bring all his karbanis and so on. So that's what even schuches is, from the word of seichich. It's like leaning over the brick, and you just don't know if you went under that one. So the Rosh actually says that those who give a different interpretation of, and here the word schuches would be from the word of like zuchuches or seicha, which is a certain stone that you could see through it, like glass. And actually, if there's such an oil with that thing made out of this looking glass, out of this looking stone, that would be something actually that wouldn't transmit tum. So it's regarding such a thing that the Mishnah is excluding when it says that the Nazim Megaleach on these things, it would not include this type of Evan Schuches, the type of glass type of a stone. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah. We said, V'chatzi kavat samas. Another thing that if it's in the same oil as the Nazir, he's going to have to cut his hair, become tummy, start all over, is if there's a half a kav of bones. Now, the Gemara continues in Amud Beis, and Tosfos explains what the Gemara is addressing from the, quoting the Ri, that seemingly the Gemara is not clear about what it's asking. So the Ri explains is that the Gemara's question here actually relies upon a concept that the Gemara is going to shortly explain, which is that if, again, Tosfos has used the words Reisha, but it's reference to our Mishnah, that our Mishnah already says that only a half a kav of bones will transmit the Tumah, requiring the Nazir to have to be Megaleach if it's in the same oil. Now, it's Mashma, the inference is, but if it's less than a half a kav, then not. So the question that's bothering the Gemara is, so then why did the next Mishnah, again, which we call the Seifa, have to delineate and say, oh, but if it's a quarter of a kava bones, that the nazir is not going to be megaleach. What do you mean? Of course we know. It's already inferential from our Mishnah. So that the Gemara actually will address this soon and say that it's coming to make the inference that only if it's a half, less than a half a kava of bones, is it that the nazir is not going to be megaleach if it's in the same oil as those bones. But even if it's not a half a kav, but only a quarter kav of bones, if he touches it, magoi, or if he carries it, masoi, then actually he would be megalech. That's why it's necessary to say that in the next Mishnah, to say that, yeah, only regarding that he's not in the same oil, it won't be enough if it's less than a half a kav. But regarding touching it and carrying it, that would be enough for the nazir to be megalech. So therefore, and again, that's what the assumption, the Gemara's question here is based on, which the Gemara shortly is going to tell us this concept. So if that's the primary chiddush of our Mishnah, again, we're calling it one Mishnah. That's why it's addressed that way. There's the Reisha, which is our Mishnah, and the Sefer, which is the next Mishnah. So if that's what they're coming to tell us by doubling the concept, by saying, oh, he's not going to be Tame if it's less than a half a kav, but say, but if it's quarter kav, then he's not going to be Megalech. Why repeat it? Oh, to tell us that, yeah, because it's telling you that only for the oil it's not going to be, but for Magoy and Masoy it will be Megalech. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is now is addressing now by saying, so Chatzi kav atzama is in. So what are you telling me? That if it's a half of a kav of bones, then yes. But Rav atzama is loy. But again, if it's a quarter of a kav of bones, then it's not going to transmit Tumah in the same oil to make the nazir be megaleach on it. Now the question is, hey chidami, what's this case talking about? In other words, ilema de is behind atzama kisa ira, if these bones have the size of a barley corn, so it's obvious that even if it's less than a half of a kav of bones, he's going to be megaleach for touching it and carrying, because typically mishametz mikasaira. You don't have to come onto the halachas of these measurements of a half a kav, a quarter kav. If you're telling me that the reish is talking about that it will not have the tumah of oil, fine. But then you said, why are you repeating it in the next Mishnah? To tell you, oh, it's not going to be time because of oil, but even as long as it has just a quarter kav, will transmit tumah for touching. Touching? You don't have to come onto a measurement of a half a kav. Even if you just have a size of a bone of a barley corn, if you touch it, you become tamei to have to be megaleach. So why do you need to have a halacha of a quarter kav of bone for magoy masoy? So the Gemara says, you're right. El de ikamach ikmuche. It must be talking about that the bone, where a bone the size of a barley corn has to have that measurement. If it's ground down into like flour, like into dust, then actually it would not transmit tuma based on halacha of etzim kitzayra. But that's what the halacha is telling us in the coming Mishnah. But if you have a quarter of a kav of this powdered bone, then if you touch it or carry it, then it will transmit tuma to the nazir to have to be megaleach on it. You're right. If it wasn't ground down, then of course, just based on halacha of etzim kitzayra. But the halacha of the reva kav that we need to tell you that although it won't transmit tuma in oil, but of magen masa, that's tuma when it was turned into a powder, that then it's only because of Reva Kav and not because of Etzem Kesara. Now the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah that said, other items that transmit Tum in the oil for the Nazir to have to make a lech is Al Ever Min Ames, if there's a limb from either a corpse, or Val Ever Min Achai, or even if there's a limb from a living person, Sheyesh Alein Basar Kuro, that as long as it has enough flesh on that limb, where although it's not a Kezayas Basar, but it would, there's enough flesh there that it could regenerate, if it was connected to a living person, so then that's enough to be considered a limb to transmit tumah in the oil. Now, on that, the Gemara says, "Ein alein basar kuro." But if there's not enough flesh to regenerate on that limb, and moreover, as the Rashi explains, you don't even have enough bone on that limb to be considered even the size of a barley corn. You don't have that much bone. So the question is, what would the halacha be? Now, as Taisa explains, definitely the question that they're addressing is not regarding if you would have to be megaleich if it's in the same oil, because that's clearly what the halach of the Mishnah is saying, that it's specifically only if it has basar karo, enough flesh to regenerate. The question that the Gemara is addressing is, what's the halach if you touch such a limb or carry such a limb, maga masa? What's the halacha regarding an aver, either from a chaya or from a mes, that doesn't have basa karo and it doesn't even have etzim gesar? Because if it had etzim gesar, that itself would transmit tama nagra masa. So that is a machlekes. Rabbi Yechonam, he says, ein ha-nazir migaleichalein. He says that the nazir does not have to cut his hair if he comes in contact or carries this limb that doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate. And Rish Lakish, I mean, he says, ha-nazir migaleichalein. He says, no, that the nazir does have to cut off his hair for coming in contact with such a limb. And as Gemara will later on learn, he learns this from a pasuk where it does transmit tumah through mago and masa. Now, therefore, the nazir has to cut up his hair, whereas Rabbi Yechonon holds it, no, that it actually does not transmit tumah even through maga or masa. Now, each one proves their opinion. Before they explain the reasoning of their opinion, they prove it. Rabbi Yechonon, I mean, he says, no, ein ha-nazir migaleichalein, the nazir does not cut off his hair if it comes in contact with a limb, either from a dead person or a live person, that obviously was detached from the live person, if it doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate. Because the Akhtani Bereisha, we learned in the Reisha, again, which is a reference to our Mishnah, that said, Al Evim in Hames, it said, regarding the limb of a dead person, or Al Evim in Achai, or limb from a live person, V'chulu, etc., which our Mishnah says, that if it has Basa Karo, enough flesh that it can regenerate, and to be a healthy limb again, then it says, Nazir Migaleach, then the Nazir will have to cut off his hair if he's in the same oil as that limb. Now, it doesn't say that if it doesn't have basar karo, that it doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate, that then it will transmit tumah at least from mago masa. So what we see from our Mishnah is that obviously sheyesh alein, and the Girsa takes out the word kezayis, basar, and it puts in the word karo in, that only if it has flesh that could regenerate, then this limb will transmit tumah, and not only that, it'll transmit tumah even in the same oil. But if it doesn't have basa karo, then not, it doesn't transmit tumah. Not only not even oil, but not even mago masa. Now, Reb Shem Melakasham, he says, no migaleh. He says that the nazir will have to cut off his hair. Why? His inference is from the sefer, meaning from the next Mishnah, which there it talks about, for example, the case of schachas and pros, which it talks about things, oh, that the nazir is not going to be migaleh. Now, for the fact that regarding a limb that doesn't have basa karo, it doesn't say that he will not cut off his hair even just for the touching and the carrying, even though we know that Rish Lakish holds that it does transmit tumma, as he's going to expound from the pasuk shortly. So obviously we see that the nazir is megaleich alav. Again, since he has a pasuk showing that it transmits tumma maga masa, oh, well then you should have said clearly in the sefer, I mean in the next Mishnah, that however the nazir is not going to be megaleich in such a case. Like all those cases where although we're going to say he's tummy, but it's not going to be nazir megaleich, why doesn't it say it? Oh, you could infer from the next Mishnah to say that obviously because the nazir would be megaleach for touching a limb, which even though it doesn't have basa karo, through maga and masa. Now, but Rabbi Yechonon Malach, he would answer to Rabbi Shimon Malach's proof for the next Mishnah and tell you, no, kol hecha de mashma mechlala, wherever we know a halacha, inferentially from the Reisha, as Rabbi Yechonon just said before, from the fact that it says that if it has basa karo, then it's going to transmit tum and oil, and it doesn't say, but if there's no basa karo, then it's going to at least be metame mago masa, which we find similarly like by a different halacha, which it says in the Mishnah that, like etzim kisa'ira, that it's not going to be in the oil, but it will be mago masa, and it doesn't say that regarding when it doesn't have basa karo, and then Rabbi Yechonon says, so you already know that halacha from the Reisha, and therefore you don't need the sefer to tell you that it's not going to be metame mago masa. So therefore, look, it's trying to be safer. That's why it doesn't say it in the sefer. Not like what you're trying to infer from the sefer's omission of it, that obviously that because it will be transmitting tumah through magamas. It says, no, something that you already know from an inference on the Reisha, the sefer doesn't have to say that it's not included. Now, that concept that Rabbi Yechonon just said in addressing and responding to Rish Lakish's Raya, that if you already know it inferentially from the Reisha, the sefer doesn't have to say it, and therefore its omission is not a proof. So on that the Gemara asks, but v'achatzi kavat samois, but the halacha of the Reisha, meaning of our Mishnah, where it talks about that if there's a half a kav of bones, and then if it's in the same oil as the nazir is going to have to be megaleach and start all over, where demash machatzi kavat samois in, where the inference is that it's only if there's a half a kav of bones, but reivat samois loy, but a quarter of a kav of bones would not work, yet for getani b'sefer reivat samois, and still the sefer, meaning the next Mishnah says, that if there's a quarter kav of bones, that the nazir is not going to be megaleach, But you said, Rabbi Yechanan, that anytime the inference is from the Reisha, the Sefer doesn't have to say it's not included. And the Gemara says, no, it's not difficult to Rabbi Yechanan. Hasam there, by the bones, Ilav Roiva Tzames, had the Mishnah not said in the Sefer, regarding the halacha of a quarter of the Kav of bones, Havamina, I would have thought to say, Afil al Magoi v'amasoi loy. When the ratio of the Mishnah is excluding and saying it has to be a half a kav, not less, I would have thought that a quarter of a kav of bones, not only does it not make the nazar b'megaleach, if in the case of oil, but even regarding touching and carrying. That's why we had to actually repeat it in the Sefer regarding a quarter kav of bones to say that it's only the alahilon who the nazar megaleach. It's only regarding the tumah of oil, that is only where it works for a half a kav and not by a quarter kav. But that's why I repeat it to infer from the Sefer to say, but yes, not going to be for oil, but it would be metatma for magia and for masa. But the Gemara continues asking in Rabbi Yechanan on this concept that he said, but v'chatzi loig dam, but regarding a half a leg of blood, dishamen mina chatzi lag dam in, where the inference is from the ratio where we said that it's going to be make the nazar have to make a lech if he's in the same oil as a half a leg of blood. The understanding is only then. Revius dam loy, but if it's a quarter of a log of blood, then not. Yet for katani b'sefer revius dam. Yet the sefer, when it talks about things that the nuz is not going to be megaleach, it mentions the quarter of a log of dam. Now why? That already is inferred from the ration. You said whatever is inferred from the ration, you don't repeat in the sefer. And that the gemara says no. That's also not difficult under Rabbi Yechanan. Hasam there, the reason why it does repeat it is lafukim and Rabbi Kiva, is because we wanted to exclude from Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Because the Amr Bekiva says explicitly revius dam when you have a quarter of a leg of blood. Now, actually, the Rush takes out the next five words of Habo Mishnei Mason Matam Boil, and his girsa actually is that Rabbi Kiva says a quarter of a leg of dam nozim migalechalav, that the nazir is migalech on it. Whereas the Mishnah later on says that Rabbi Kiva says danti lefnei Rabbi Eliezer, says I was presenting my opinion in front of Rabbi Eliezer, where he wanted to prove that a nazar will be megaleach even just on the revius of dam, and he wanted to learn it from a kavo chaymer, from etzem kesayru, which Rabbi Eliezer did not agree to that kavo chaymer. But one thing we see from there is that obviously Rabbi Kiva held that a nazar is megaleach even by a revius of leg of dam. That is why we repeat in the sefer. You're right, we would have known it from the inference of the ratio, like the chacham saying, therefore we don't repeat things. But we specifically said it again so that we could come to exclude from Rabbi Kiva's opinion, who holds that you don't need to have a half a leg of dam, even for Tumas Oil, that is enough. For Revius, so we repeated and we said that no, Revius of Dam will not transmit Tumma in the oil. Now the Gemara continues now, and now the Gemara asks in the way of explaining their opinions. Hi, Aver Min Hames. This halacha that we had the machlikis of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, regarding when you have a limb from a corpse, which again, as we explained, that it doesn't have Basar Karo, it doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate. If it had Basar Karo, then like our Mishnah says, it would transmit Tumas Oil. When it doesn't have, so then we have this machlekes reichin and Rish Lakish regarding if it'll transmit tumma by touching and carrying. So now the Gemara asks, heichin dami, what's the case conceptualization? As the Gemara explains, id is be'etzim kesar, if this limb doesn't have flesh enough to even regenerate, but how much bone is there in this limb? If there's a bone the size of a barley corn, well, my time with Rabbi Yechanan, then what's the reason of Rabbi Yechanan that he says that the nazir is not going to be megaleach for touching or carrying this limb? Forget about the halachas of Aver, just from the fact that it has bone the size of a barley corn should transmit tumma of maga masa. And ve'id the lesbe etzim kisar, now if this limb, which doesn't have basikaro, and doesn't have bone the size of a barley corn, so my time in Rish Lakish, so then it is difficult in Rish Lakish. This is not a halacha of transmitting tumma. Why would it transmit tumma of touching or carrying if it doesn't have bone, doesn't have flesh? So what in this halacha will transmit tumma? We only know regarding an aver that has basar karo that then they transmit tumma. So amal Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish tell you, lo'ilam deles be'etzim kesar. Truth is, it doesn't have bone the size of a barley corn. So Rabbi Yochanan is very well understood. But what's the understanding of Rish Lakish? Fafalahachi Rachmon Rabbi says, but still the Torah explicitly includes an aver, even though it doesn't have bone the size of a barley corn and doesn't have basar karo. The time like learn the brisa. Actually, on this daf, we're not going to conclude this brisa, because this brisa is split into two parts. First, it explains from one pasuk all the halachas of oil, and then the brisa continues on the next daf talking about all the things that are metame through touching. And from that other pasuk, we're going to learn what Rish Lakish is trying to prove for his halacha, that even though it doesn't have etzim kisayra, but it's an aver that from the Mesen Chai that doesn't have Basar Karo will transmit Tuma through Magai Masa. So first we're going to learn the first half of this Braisa. It's time to learn the Braisa. Quotes a Pasuk about Midbar. The Pasuk there says, "V'chayla sheyige." Now whoever touches al panei hasada out in the open field, bechalal cherev, a person that was felled, which was killed through the sword, oiva mes, or a corpse. Now the Pasuk there concludes, oiva etzim adam, or if he touches the bone of a person, oiva kever, or in a grave, yitme shevis yamim, so by coming in contact with this dead person, he's going to be tamei for 7 days. That's halacha known as tumas mes. Now on that, the Brice explains, what are all these references to in this Pasuk? So one by one it says, al panei hasada, when it talks about on the open field, zeha mahal al panei hames, this is a reference to someone that he is like an oil, he leans over the surface of a corpse, where that sounds like that the contact that you're having is in the ear, through the panei hasada, the open of the field, which that's a reference to halacha of oil, by leaning over a corpse, that transmits tumah to the person for a tumah of 7 days, where the Rashi actually explains the exposition is from the word me'al panei, because actually from the other part of that pasuk, the Gemara elsewhere learns out other drashas. Bechalal, when it says that it was felled, which is a way of like chopping something off, which you could kill someone like that, but specifically the Braisa says, Ze'iver min achai. This is a reference to a limb from a live person, whereas the Rashi explains the word chalal sounds like when you're detaching something from where it's connected, where if you have a living person, detaching the limb is taking it off from a live person. And v'yesh le lahalas arucha, which the Rush points out, that's you don't see in the Pasuk, that's halacha l'maishe m'sinai, that this halacha that's alluded to in chalal, that's felled, chopping off, is when you chop off a limb from a live person, and that's the halacha that we were just talking about from our Mishnah, and it has enough flesh to regenerate, that will transmit tumah in the same oil. When it says cheriv, which generally that's read together, but chalal cheriv, here each word is expounded differently, separately, cheriv, when it talks about the sword, hariza kachol. The reason why it's referencing the sword regarding transmitting tumas oil is to say that actually the sword has the same halachic status as the dead person himself. In other words, since the sword is stuck into the corpse, so the sword actually becomes itself what's called a via vaisa tumah, a grandfather of tumah, which is the highest level tumah could be, which only a corpse has. Here the sword has the same halachic status like the mess itself. Where again, as the Rush brings, it's actually machlekes. The Rabbeinu Tam holds it's not specifically a sword, it's any metal kli which is touching a corpse. Whereas Rabbi Yitzchok Misam Ponte, he says that it's anything that is a type of kli that could be tivled, kli shatef, where that's a machlekes regarding what's considered, including this halacha, but whatever the metal kli is attached to the corpse, like the cherev, that actually has same halacha status. If someone touches the sword as if he touched the dead person. When the pasuk then continues, even mess, or if he's coming in contact with a corpse, Ze'ever ha-nechlol min ha-meis. It's a reference to when you have a limb that was felled, that was cut off from a corpse, whereas the Rush explains, you definitely don't need a pasuk to tell you that you're going to become tummy in the oil with a complete corpse. The reason being is because if you're learning that even a sword that touches a corpse will transmit tummy in the oil, for sure the mess itself, because they're saying the sword is like the chol. So therefore when it says oy b'mes, it means to say even a part of the mess, meaning a limb from this corpse, oy ve'etzem adam, or if he comes in contact with the bone of a person, zeh roi v'atzames, that's a reference to a quarter of a kava of bones, where that transmits, as the Mishnah says, b'sechlis olis, transmits tumah in the same oil. Now actually, Tosfos points out, this halacha is a halacha l'maishe m'sinai, that you need to have a quarter of a kava of atzames, and again, this is what's just known as a smacht b'yama. An allusion to that halacha is, you can find in these words, these references in this pasuk, when it says oive kever, or in the grave, ze kever sasim. That's a reference to the halacha of what's known as a closed grave. Now what that means to say is if there's no opening in the grave, the size of a tefach, and someone leans over the grave, even if he's not directly over the source of the tumah, over the corpse itself, he's going to become tummy. That's what we're including in the kever, just even going over the grave. The reason being is because we consider the whole grave as if it's filled with the tumah of the corpse itself. Now, however, there is a condition, as long as there's a gap, an opening of a tefach, between the corpse and the roof of that grave. However, if there's actually not even an opening of a tefach between the corpse and the grave on top of him, then that's what's known as tumah ritzutza, which is called a crouching tumah. It's considered closed in. It doesn't expand to fill up the whole grave. And then it's bekas v'oile, it shoots up directly up, but it doesn't transmit tumah from the sides of the grave. As the Gemara continues in top of Nandalam and Alav, the Amamar, like actually this is brought in the Mishnah, the 7th parak of Masechtas Alis, where it talks about this nefesh atumah, a closed grave, where if someone touches, comes in contact to the side of the grave, he's going to be tahar, and the reason being is because tumah bekas v'oile, bekas v'yiretzis, because then the tumah again, as we said, should go straight up, all the way up, 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 to wherever it can go, and goes straight down, down, down. Now, however, as we said before, but if the place of the tumah had a tefach al tefach with a height of a tefach, then if anyone touches anywhere, he's going to become tummy, because again, then it's considered like the halacha that we're referencing of kabar sasim, where as long as you have a gap between the mess and what's on top of him, then it's not just tumah ritzutza, then it could expand into the holy area of the grave, and anyone passing over is going to be tummy. That's again, not even if you're only over the corpse, but even if you're over in the area of the grave. That's the first half of this brisa that Rish Lakish is bringing, which from this pasuk you see all the different halachas relating to tumas oil to make a person tame, where it doesn't have to be specifically just the mess itself. It could be just, it could be the sword, it could be a limb from a live person, a limb from a dead person, or even just going over the grave, again specifically when it's sasim, when there's no opening in the grave itself, but again there is a gap between the corpse and what's on top of him, because again, if there's no gap, then even if there's no opening in the grave, it's going to go straight up and straight down. And then on the next daf, we're going to continue with the braisa, which references the halachas of touching, which will bring the proof why Rish Lakish is bringing this in regarding the halacha of an aver that doesn't have a basa karo that can't regenerate, where he argues in Rabbi Yechon, he holds that even though it's not going to be tama in the oil, like we see in our Mishnah, but it will be metama through maga and masa.